If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Philippians chapter 1. And follow along as I read beginning at verse 12. Philippians 1 and 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly here what you would have to say to us today. There are lessons to learn from the challenges of the church throughout its history. We have recorded for us in an authoritative way the challenges of the first century church. And while we may live in an area that is most blessed and not experience some of the challenges that Paul encountered, we can't be sure that we never will, and we know we have brothers and sisters around the world who are struggling just as he did. So, Father, instruct us, help us to see, know, to understand exactly what is said here, but then to take it and incorporate it into our hearts and into our lives. And the way you would have us to respond in our world in service to you this week, right here. Thank you for the promise of your presence. Take your word, your servant, and instruct us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul begins in verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. That little phrase, now I want you to know, if Paul could, he'd put an exclamation point right at the end, and he might say it this way in English, get this, or now church, listen, this is something you need to know. And so maybe what we're about to see is what we need to take home this morning. Don't know yet. I want you to know this, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. His circumstances. Well, you know what they are. He spent 2 years in prison in Caesarea. He'd angered the Jewish leaders, and they had managed to falsely accuse him in such a way that he ended up there in Caesarea and for 2 years in jail. He appealed to Caesar, and so now he's in the midst of a 2-year jail sentence in Rome. Those are his circumstances. And yet he says it has all turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. A little more contemporary illustration, John Bunyan. 16th century. Arrested for simply sharing the gospel. But it went against the religious establishment. And so they put him in the Bedford prison there in London. While he was there, thinking I have a lot of time on my hands, translated much of Scripture, and wrote Pilgrim's Progress, a book that has been printed, translated, and for a long time second only to Scripture. As he shared the challenge of making that journey through life, finding Christ, then finding that the journey's not over, and the challenges that continue after that as we walk with Pilgrim. Would John Bunyan say that his circumstances have worked out for the progress of the gospel? He certainly would have. For he too was a willing prisoner for the cause of Christ. So Paul says, I want you to know, get this, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel as well. We might challenge Paul's use of the word progress. What are you looking for here, Paul, when you think in terms of progress? Well, first of all, verses 13 and 14, there's greater courage. And I got to tell you, I'm not sure I get this, Paul. Listen to this, verse 13. So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Paul says, that's progress. I'm thinking, I don't know, Paul. If you're an evangelist, you're a statesman, you can share the gospel in many different languages, you love going where the gospel's never been before, and now all of a sudden you're in jail. How is that progress? He says, but having been here, and notice he says, throughout the whole Praetorian Guard, he's been there long enough that he has spoken personally to almost every one of the guards serving in the Mamertine prison. And he says, that's great. Because you know, soldiers, being soldiers, they're not all Romans. They're not all Italians. I mean, there's some Greeks and there's some people from all over. And I've shared the gospel with them. Now, he doesn't say how many received the gospel. But then that wasn't his job. His job was to share the gospel. And I've gotten to do that. There are at least two chained to him for at least 12, maybe 8 hours. So he's seeing 2, 4, or 6 a day and thinking, this is great. So the gospel has permeated this elite Roman force. And he says to everyone else. Who's the everyone else? Well, later he will tell us, even into Caesar's household. Wow. He doesn't tell us exactly how that happened. But because of his time in jail, there are people next to the ruler of the known world who have heard and some of whom have accepted Jesus as Savior. And Paul says, this is great. And as a result of that, verse 14, most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord, because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Now, I think the only way that makes sense is when you read both of those verses together, because I'm thinking, man, he will spend four of about 5 years in jail, in some kind of confinement. Now, as word gets out, the more vocal you are about your faith, whether it's as a Jew to your fellow Jews, which was Paul's problem, or whether it's as a Jew to your Gentile neighbors, or if it's as a Gentile believer to your neighbors, if, as the word gets out, the more vocal you are, you could end up in jail like Paul. I gotta tell you, I think I would be tempted to crawl into my shell and be sort of an undercover Christian, you know. Ask me and I'll tell you, but I'm not going to make too much noise about it. I'm thinking if I had been there and seen what they were doing to Paul, I think I'd wonder what they would do to me. I wouldn't last long. I think I would go underground. But Paul says the exact opposite is happening. They're seeing that the God they love, the God they now know through the finished work of Christ, is empowering men and women to take this gospel everywhere. And that no matter where you end up, even in a jail, you can continue to share the gospel. And there was a large group of people who said, great, that's exactly what we'll do. So he's writing back to this church here in Philippi saying, now get this, remember, he started this paragraph that way. Now get this, church. Things are happening. Those Roman soldiers who have declared an allegiance to Caesar, who have, especially as they have risen through the ranks, have had to publicly identify him as God. This is the only way you could progress. Within Caesar's household, whether it's his waitstaff or even his family, they have to publicly in some way venerate Caesar. Even they are coming out for Christ. The history of the church is dotted with periods of persecution where those who were charged with carrying out sentences joined the Christians in their sentence. The gospel, men and women living out the gospel, is courageous. And it sparks courage in the hearts and lives of those around them. So church at Philippi, church at Wolf Lake, understand that. You may not be going through this right now, as we are not going through this right now. But there are places where it is happening. I'm in the middle of it, Paul is saying. And understand this. Others who are in the middle of it or on the brink of it, they're standing up too. They're proclaiming Christ. And in some cases, dealing with the heightened persecution that would come. So if my being in jail has empowered, encouraged, strengthened other believers to teach and preach in my place, Paul's in jail. Paul's ministry has been confined a bit. All of those places he would have visited. I'll go to one or two. I'll go to one or two. If he can't, I will. And I will be just as clear in teaching, preaching the gospel. So that while Paul can't go, the gospel still goes. His courage encouraged others. So there was a greater courage. But it also came with a challenge. And I hope I can handle this correctly or in a way that will not do violence to what he's saying. Verse 15 says, "Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife." Let's stop right there and make sure we understand what we're talking about here. The word strife, your Bible maybe says rivalry, and that's probably a little better contemporary English word. It makes sense. It happened in the first century, and I know it's going on in the 21st century. I must say, I have never experienced this, but I have read stories of pastoral meetings, you know, where they would get together on Monday morning and the pastors would basically lie to one another about what happened on Sunday to enrich themselves and to, you know, boost themselves up in the meeting. I've been involved, but never in anything like that. We just kind of always got together to encourage one another. But I know that happens. And I know there are men who, from time to time, when they see one fall or when they see one pass away, get ill, sidelined for some reason, think, oh, there's an opportunity. There's something I can go after. There's something that maybe I could fill those shoes and get the attention that he got. That happens. It was happening then. I'll go. I'll get the attention Paul was getting. I'll even do it a little better. After all, I'm more charismatic. I'm a better speaker. Or whatever. But that's what was motivating them. This is Paul's concern about the motive with which they were preaching the gospel, not the quality of the gospel. These are not false teachers. These are not people who are spreading error about him or about Christ or about the gospel. None of that. There was a lot of that going on, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about men who, when they go, they teach the gospel, they share the truth. The problem is their motive, why they are doing it. "So some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill." Again, Paul can't go right now, but I can, so I will. "The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." It's kind of a funny word, but the theological term for that is apologetics. Paul was a defender of the gospel. He could explain it and not apologize for it, but explain it in ways using illustrations that would make sense to his generation. And when he was in Jerusalem to his fellow Jew, when he's in Corinth to a largely Greek Gentile audience, now in Rome to a largely largely Gentile Italian audience, he can do that. That's who he is. Now, he's not able to do that, so others are stepping forward, defending the gospel, letting people understand what it really is. Those who hated the church, those who hated the gospel, those who hated Jesus, love to tell the little story about how when the church got together, they ate body parts and drank blood. It didn't happen. They were having communion. They were sharing the bread and the cup and giving it the illustrative purposes that Jesus gave to it. They weren't eating body parts. They weren't drinking blood. It didn't become the body of Christ. It didn't become the blood of Christ. It illustrated the body, the blood, the life that he gave for them. So there were all kinds of stories floating around out there that weren't true about the church. Paul's on the sidelines now, sort of. So there were men who said, I'll go in his place and I'll teach the gospel and I'll explain the good news of Jesus Christ out of love, out of opportunity. In the very same way that Paul said, okay, now I get to preach the gospel to the Praetorian Guard, some other guy is saying, okay, now I get to preach the gospel to this group because Paul can. Out of love for Christ and out of love for Paul. The former, on the other hand, verse 17, proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Again, rivalry, jealousy, not a 21st century idea. It was happening then too. But again, remember, we're not talking about the quality or clarity of the gospel. We're talking about the motive, why they were doing it. And because the gospel is still clearly going out, and because people are responding to the gospel, fortunately, not to their motives, but to the gospel, Paul could come to this conclusion in verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And that's what we need to leave with. Verse 12, there's greater progress. How does he define greater progress? Christ is proclaimed. See, the false teachers couldn't do that. They couldn't proclaim Christ. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't proclaim him. They denounced him. They taught against him. They denied him. So this is not about false teachers. This is all about attitude and motive. There are some out there who are teaching, taking the opportunity to teach and preach out of love for Christ, love for Paul, trying to fill in the gaps that have been created by his imprisonment. Others are out there sharing the very same gospel, but doing it, thankful to have the old man out of the way. Paul was about 65. Glad to have the old man out of the way. He's had too much attention. People think too much of him. It's our turn now. Now we can step into some of those pulpits, visit some of those house churches, and let them know there's a newer, younger, better generation. Same gospel. And you know, at the end of the day, Paul says, that's okay. As long as the gospel is being proclaimed. Now, would he take to task their attitudes? Absolutely. Were their attitudes sinful? Most certainly. But for him, sitting in jail, he was glad to know that the gospel was being proclaimed. And that there were people responding to it. Now, therefore, how are we to respond? Can we live our lives however we want to, with whatever attitude we want? No, absolutely not. But as we think in terms of our responsibility to take the gospel with us wherever we're going, sharing it however we can, just telling our story, our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and doing it because I can. This is where I am. This is where I have come today. And here's somebody I can chat with. And maybe start the conversation. Maybe it'll go nowhere and, you know, it's just not the right time. But maybe your interest in them will open them up and you can simply share your story. And you're simply doing it because, hey, I'm here and I can and nobody else is, and so I do it. Nothing wrong with your motive. Now, you could do the same thing because on next Sunday you want to be able to tell everybody in Sunday school maybe, well, I spoke to 20 people. I shared the gospel with 15. 10 of them came to Jesus. Now, to which we should say, amen. And then take that brother aside and adjust his attitude a little bit. And remind him of who's in control and why all of this is even possible. Let the Holy Spirit use you this week. Check your motive. Confess any strife, rivalry, jealousy, any kind of motive that would suggest you want to draw attention to yourself, and find ways, a way, to share Jesus with whoever you come into contact with. Paul would say, your circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel as Christ is proclaimed. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately. What a heart you gave the Apostle Paul. He just wanted to be used wherever he was. And he was pleased to see the gospel make progress, even if the motive wasn't right. He knew the message was. We're not dealing with persecution right now. Not a one of us has to worry about being thrown in jail because we shared Jesus with somebody. But still, we have the responsibility to share our faith, not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to our Savior. Not so that we can feel better about ourselves, but so that someone else can know you. May we allow your Spirit to check our hearts, check our motives, and then may we simply report for duty, whatever that is, whatever you would have us to do, however you would have us serve you this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.